In my mind, I'm a legend. But I still should introduce myself. Aku aku netawan puchuk yayak netawan Alan Salazar besekva nukasin chogoyanga tapu nukasin. Hello. I'm fast runner. I'll be accepting challenges after the service out in the parking lot. I'm a sprinter, so it's just going to be a 50-yard dash. I was born in the village of Pasekva. We know it as San Fernando, California. And I trace my Chumash and Tataviam ancestries from my father's side of the family to the villages of Chogoyanga, which where Magic Mountain is built. It's a Tataviam village. And to the Chumash village of Tapu, which is Tapu Canyon and Simi Valley. All these people right here, including me and my brother, if you want, I'll put these out and you can come up and look at it. This is me when I was 6 years old in 1957 with a Mohawk haircut, probably the last time I was cute. But all of these people here were born in San Fernando, and probably for the last five generations, my Chumash Tataviam ancestors were born in San Fernando, California, because of the San Fernando Mission. So my ancestors helped build the San Fernando Mission starting in 1799 and were part of the slave labor workforce. This is my mom right here. She's Portuguese and English, born and died in Hanford, California. And my mom used to say she was a mutt or Heinz 57. When I did my DNA and research through Ancestry.com, when I was a little boy, I thought my mom was just joking, and then I found out, no, she was serious. I have 2% of this and 3% of that, and all kinds of European and Eastern European ancestry on my mom's side. I'm a tea drinker. I don't drink coffee, and it's to honor my mom's English ancestor. That's not my only rationale for it.
That's why you and I get along so well.
Yes. And I'm debating right now if I should do my usual. I usually badmouth coffee drinkers. Coffee is for commoners. Tea is for the elite. So if you want to move up, I actually, on my English ancestry, on my mom's side, my grandfather, her dad, is where I get my English ancestry. And during the pandemic, I researched it and traced it back to Bath, England, and in the 1650s, my 9th and 10th great-grandfathers were the mayor of Bath, England, and were knighted, and were Sir John Randall, I think David Randall. So I'm pretty sure I do come from royalty. I am the Earl of Grey. When the service is over, please call me Your Highness. But today I'm here to talk to you about our tamales and my Chumash culture. Our tamales are our ocean canoes. They are a large part of the Chumash culture, our maritime culture. Most of our villages were along the beach here from Malibu all the ways through Ventura, Santa Barbara, Morro Bay, dozens and dozens of villages. In each village would have 30, 40, the bigger villages, more than 50 tamales. And I've been lucky and blessed to be involved with them since 1997. And in 1997, there were no working tamales. The Chumash people, none, Sandy Inez, none of us, we had no plank canoes to go out and paddle in the ocean and learn how to navigate and learn how to build them. And then in 1997, the NOAA, got a grant to build three tamales. And Peter Howarth, who's a master canoe builder, started to build the canoes. If you can put the pictures up, we'll show you some video pictures of our tamales. This is the one that we're building. I should be there today. They're actually working on it. That we're building in Ventura. The exciting thing about this, in 1997, we built El Oyun, a 24-foot tamal. It was the first working tamal, first working plank canoe made in modern times to be used by Chumash people. And since then, we've built and paddled in them, made crossings from the mainland out to Santa Cruz Island. But Ventura, the Chumash community in Ventura, has been left out. And there's various reasons, politics and egos and things like that. But the Chumash, the Ventureño Chumash, have kind of been left out of this process for the last 28 years. And a couple years ago, Patagonia reached out to me and asked, how can we help the Chumash people in Ventura? They go, our headquarters are in Ventura. We would love to help them. I go, help us build two tamales. And when we researched it, and I've told this story about some of the last three tamales. We're not sure if they're the last three, but they were some of the last traditional tamales built by the Brotherhood of the Tamal, were built in Ventura. And we think they were built sometime in the 1820s. We don't have exact dates. Definitely by the 1830s, there were no more tamales being built in the Ventura area. So it's been at least 190 years since we've built any of our canoes in Ventura. So with the help and support of Patagonia and dozens and dozens of volunteers, we are building two tamales. And here's the significance of building these tamales, these plank canoes. You can go on to the next slide, please. Like I said, it's all volunteers, local Chumash are building it. And it's a very unique way of building canoes. Stop right there, please. Go back one. So it's been at least 190 years since we've built any tamales in Ventura. And it's the tamal we discovered in 1997. When you build a tamal, it's almost like Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. It's a focal point for the Chumash community. So some of these people are workers, and some of them just come to see what we're doing and then sit and share and fellowship and reconnect to help us rebuild and learn how to build them, learn how to navigate, and learn how to paddle in them is a very important. The young man there in the red shorts, and the young, no, he's not in this picture, but there's another young man. We kind of said, you're our future. You take the lead. And we have two young men, one from my tribe, the Fernandinho Tatavion Band of Mission Indians, and one Chumash, that are basically the foremen of the work site. And I was there yesterday, and I go, Justin, what do you want me to do? And he tells me what to do. And when we finish this first tamal, and it's about halfway done, we hope in the next week or two we will start the second tamal. Here's the importance of building two tamals. In today's world, as we know, there's a lot of this. And it's true within the Native communities, especially what are called federally non-recognized tribes. So the Ventureño Chumash, the Barbareño Chumash, they're a federally non-recognized tribe. The Fernandinho Tatavion Band of Mission Indians, my tribe, is a federally non-recognized tribe. We're all struggling to try and survive. We're all struggling to try and revitalize our culture. And it's a struggle. So lots of times there's a lot of conflict. And I asked Patagonia, help us build two tamales. One for the Barbareño Ventureño Band of Mission Indians, who are based in the Ojai Ventura area, and one for the Fernandinho Tatavion Band of Mission Indians that are based in San Fernando, so that these two tribes will work together. And instead of do this, do this. Mm. And the second tamal that we're going to start in the next week or so is for my tribe. I've probably already volunteered 300 or 400 hours easily for a tamal that will belong to my neighboring tribe. But the Schumachers and the Tataviam have been neighbors for thousands of years. If we were to go approximately 30 miles east, definitely 40 miles east, we're in Tataviam territory. So the San Fernando Valley, the Santa Clarita Valley, going out towards Palmdale, Lancaster, that's Tataviam territory. They have lived next door to the Chumash for thousands and thousands of years. Go on to the next slide, please. That's the jig that Justin's leaning on. We build them upside down on this jig. Those are our paddles. And then we glue our boards together. You can see the excess glue on us, on the Tamal. next slide, please. The M post, we have to glue some boards together. We're making a 24-foot Tamal. That's my beautiful wife. And I'm going to have them stop when it gets to, that's my cousin. That's our mascot. stop right there. So right there we have five planks on the jig. So the jig is just pieces of plywood framed with 2x6, and we cut the ones that are at the bow and stern about that wide, and then a little wider, and then in the center a little wider, and that's where we glue our boards around. And traditionally in the old days, we would have used tar and pine pitch. It was called yope. But we use the best marine glues. Don't tell anybody. This is a top secret information. After we get it all glued together and sand it and get the excess glue off, we'll tape each joint where each boards are together. We'll tape it and leave about a quarter inch gap, and then we paint it black so it looks like it's tar. It's just black paint. The natural tar, like if you go to Carpinteria today, there's tar seeping up, and there's big, they look like rocks, but they're actual hardened tar. It's extremely difficult to work with. You have to get just the right temperature, and discovered that if you go to the marine shops, they have epoxies and hardeners and glues that are made to last getting wet. So Ella Mayun is 90, we built in 97, is 28 years old, and she's still a working Tamal, and that's what we used on her. So it is a good glue. We've advanced and adapted our technology. We actually cheat. So my ancestors would take two boards and sand and get that edge perfectly straight, and then sand this one and get it perfectly straight, and then glue them together. If you've ever stepped on tar, it is a great glue and very sticky. But we cheat. Once again, top secret information, don't pass this on to anybody. We take each board and cut a groove in it right down the center, about a half inch. And then we get a one-inch piece of oak, about a quarter inch wide, and we glue it into that groove. And then the next board has a groove cut in it, and we glue it together, clamp it. What's important about this picture right here is, if you notice, we have five, and those screws and bolts we will take out and fill in the holes, so the Tamal will literally be glued and tied together. That's just holding the boards to the frame while the glue dries. But when we get five boards deep, we pop it off the jig, which was kind of priceless. It didn't want to come off. We'd actually had some excess glue glued to the jig. It took a few tries, but we got it off. And then we put a spacer board right in the center. A lot of people think it's a seat, but it's actually to keep the form and shape of the Tamal at its widest. There's no frame in our canoes. And then we pop it off, set it on the ground, put that spacer in, and then we put the sixth board on. So we have all six boards on. Today they're cutting off some of the excess boards, and we'll start grinding them down to get it more aerodynamic and shaped. Then we'll drill holes every 6 inches and tie each board off. So we'll tie this board to this board every 6 inches. So there's still a lot more work to do. And then we put ears on the bow and stern, the front and back. And they're kind of a half circle, about 22 inches long. about 10 inches high. We do abalone inlay. So this tamal, they've already decided on a name, and I think it's really cool. I wish I could remember. It's a hard word to pronounce, and languages and linguistic are not my forte. But if you go to Patagonia in Ventura, they have a workshop catty-corner from where the store is. And that workshop, out front of that workshop, they have a flying fish, and it's for some of their clothes and some of their surfboards and things that they have. And the Barbareño, Ventureño, Banda Mission Indians named this one flying fish. But one thing we have discovered in trying to revitalize our languages is that a lot of the language is lost, so they couldn't find a Chumash word for flying fish. So they came up with an alternative and it's a beautiful sounding word, but literally translated, it means the spirit of the pelican. So a flying fish can fly, like a pelican fly. A pelican is a bird of the ocean. So they'll do a flying fish mosaic made of abalone on those ears, and this will be flying fish. The young man from my tribe, I emailed him yesterday and said, you know, to ask his family members and other tribal members that he knows, and to come up with a name for the second tamal. So we haven't named the second one yet, but I wanted our young people and young tribal members to come up with a name. So they're invested in it. But it's been a wonderful experience. We are at Vita Art Center in downtown Ventura, right off of the avenue, west of Ventura Avenue on Main Street. We work every Saturday and Sunday. Everyone's welcome to come and see what we're doing. When we finish this one, there'll be several launchings and introductions of the tamal to the general public with the museum. We find it interesting that Ventura Yacht Club has reached out to us. We're a bunch of poor Indians. We can't even spell yacht. You think I'm joking? I'm like, how do you spell yacht? That's a weird word. But like I said, the community has embraced us, encouraged us, supported us financially. And it's frustrating at times, and you know, I have to deal with some egos, but for the most part, we've come together, and it's a work of love and pride. When we finish it, it will be a beautiful 24-foot tamal that we will put four paddlers in. And we'll start paddling up and down the coast and paddling back out to the islands. And our hope is to have big canoe gatherings in Ventura. Mm-hmm. So in the next 4 to 5 years, keep your ear to the ground. I don't know why you do that, but probably should just go on the internet. But we hope to have big canoe gatherings. We've already reached out to some Northwest people, Hawaiian people. The local outrigger groups are excited to paddle with us, and we hope to reach out to other canoe cultures. And if you stop and think about it, all of us come from canoe cultures. All of us, unless maybe you're a desert tribe. But most of us come from canoe cultures. And I'll close on this. I used to say this for years and years, that we're all tribal people. Everybody in here comes from a tribal culture. And when I researched my English ancestry, my wife is an artist, and she does art with natural earth pigments, ochres. We'll be doing a workshop at Vita Art Center as soon as I finish here with teaching people how to make paints from ochres. And it's the style of painting that people all around the world have used for thousands of years. Some of the oldest rock art is in Indonesia, Europe, and Africa. 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 years old use of ochres. And when I researched my English ancestry, my wife, being an artist who works with ochres, found a cave in England where they're still mining ochres for 4,500 years. And we went to this cave, and they had a painting of a village, an English village, when my English ancestors were hunters and gatherers, an English village from 4,500 years ago. And that village looked exactly like a Chumash village. Willow-framed, tule, covered with tule, circular, exactly like a Chumash. I could take that painting and put it at the Oak Brook Chumash Museum and put Chumash Village, and everyone would walk in there, including Chumash people, would go, oh, yeah, that's a really nice painting of the Chumash Village from 4,500 years ago. We're all tribal people. Mm. Thank you for allowing me to come and share my little bit. I know about our canoes, the importance of them to the community, and to connect with other cultures of the water and the ocean and the canoes. Blessings. Thank you so much.